you mentioned something during the breakfast. Why? And it's interesting because I don't know why. Why to practice awareness and develop right understanding of Dhammas?
Is it you?
Not I had, there is no me, but
yeah.
Why?
You think of why, that's why there is the word why. If you don't think of why, there's no why at all. So the reality of what you talk about is why, it's only at moment of thinking of it. There is seeing, which where object is now appearing, sound is appearing, but we don't mind or pay attention to the citta, that which experiences it at all, right? Like why at that moment, paying attention to the concept of why. But what is that which conditions such thinking of why? That's why in a day or every day in life, no matter long, long time ago, and even now, the attention is only to that which is experienced, not of that which experiences it. So how can one realize or panya can know how that which experience is right or wrong and lots of accumulation of what? Wholesomeness or unwholesomeness. So no time to understand that which conditioned the appearance of the world, right? Because with our people around here in the trees, no world at all. If nothing arises, there is no world. But no attention, no understanding of that which experiences it. That's why we learn to understand the truth of whatever appears now, that there is a reality which now experiencing it. Otherwise, nothing can appear. And always attention to the object, so no time to understand that which experiences of why. Always from moment to moment, keep on thinking about concept.
Ajahn, just to go back over what you just said.
In former times, the interest was about the process. Is that right? Not about the object. Is that what you...
Concept. Reality appears.
Yes.
No understanding of reality. So no understanding of the impermanence of whatever arises. It falls away all the time while we are talking about seeing. Seeing as soon as it arises and it sees, then it falls away instantly. No time for anyone to understand it as it is, as just a moment of experiencing that which appears now. We don't have to call it whisper object or anything. Only understanding there are realities or whatever appears without no understanding of it at all. That's why when Buddha enlightened, he enlightened the true nature of all realities, and he shared his understanding with the others who can understand or have accumulation to understand. So he talks about everything in details, even what is seen now at this moment. Many people just take it for granted as things and beings, no understanding of its characteristic of that element, an element, a reality which can be seen. That's all. So we learn to understand what is hidden. The truth is hidden all the time. It appears like the skin or the cover of the truth. So panya is the element which can understand it little by little. But without the teachings, no one can think about realities at all. It's beyond one's ability until one hears and hears more and more about the truth, and then the considering of the truth will condition moment of understanding that which is now appearing, not just the story of it.
So when there seems to be an interest in why and how, then that is because of thinking about concept and the and the object of reality as opposed to that which experiences.
So the question can be, why? Why?
Yes, exactly.
Seeing sees, this word object appears. Why? Otherwise, it's always why thinking, why hearing, why concept, always why. Why means do not understand that which appears.
This is the self that asks why. It also can ask why, and it goes on in circles.
And this is the third why, and the 100 whys. Yeah. So why what? Or what's why? No why for you, Kun David? For example, someone is walking over there. No why he's walking. No idea about that. But yeah.
Just something about Tina and Mita. Because yesterday we were driving in the bus and you felt tired, so it was quite obvious there were Tina and Mita.
And when you are tired, you call it Tina and Mita. What about the reality right then? Tiredness, yeah, instead of thinking about Tina and Mita.
Blur, not clear, not energy.
Yeah, at that moment, it's a reality.
And what about the Tina and Mita in other moments when it's not so
Whenever it arises, you don't have to name it or call it at all.
But like even now, if there's no energy, then it's Tina and Mita.
But when someone talks about what is Tina and Mita, you know right then it's what moment you were sometimes. Tina now, Mita now, not only word, but what about the characteristic of Tina and Mita arising and appearing or not?
Even now when there's lobha or dosa, actually there is Tina and Mita arising with it. So why in the text do they often refer to drowsiness or sleepiness? Just because
because it's there when it arises, just to know that it's a reality.
Yeah.
That's all.
Actually any time.
Yeah, different reality from others.
There are moments with lobha without Tina and Mita. So it's the lacking of energy, which is the more the characteristic of Tina and Mita.
It's only with sasankarika chittas, right? So it's weak chittas.
It means that you'd like to call realities, that's all. Whether this or that. But when it's there, you want to name it? It's there or it's here. Would you like to name it? Like seeing. Do you have to say seeing now? Not necessary at all. Because it's again thinking of that which appears instead of learning to know that it's just that which sees.
Sometimes the characteristic can be quite obvious, and sometimes
it's now, each one. But no understanding, this is a point why we listen and listen and listen to condition more of understanding it. Otherwise, no way at all to understand reality, like seeing, hearing, from birth up to now.
When one's feeling drowsy in the van, like yesterday, many people were sleepy and drowsy, and it seems like it's obvious that it's Tina and Mida, but actually it's just thinking about the situation again, because actually so many different kinds of chittas are not Tina and Mida all the time. So it's a little bit simplistic to say, oh, I'm feeling tired and drowsy, Tina and Mida. I don't think we can say it like that.
Because it's more complicated, it arises only with citta, which is sasankarika, you see. So when you say it's dinamida, it may be just an uneasiness, a feeling of unpleasant feeling, or a feeling of uneasiness, you don't like it, but you feel a bit drowsy. So we should not think of the conventional term tiredness. That doesn't help at all.
We know more words and concept than reality. Like whether it is sasankari, see? What about that moment? Would you, they like it to be called sasankari? No, no idea. Just that, arising and falling away in split seconds.
John, when I think I remember when Tony the Englishman came and talked, and I hear this from many people and myself, and wonder when we think about this Pali word or that Pali word or this feeling or that feeling, of course it's already come and gone. At that point we're already just thinking. And then I guess my question, I don't know how to phrase this. As we study, though, and consider, there's some development occurring, something is happening, but do we know it? Do we have any way of taking a sati test and having a bell ring when a moment of consciousness arises? How does one judge development in their daily life at all, or impossible?
We don't have to think of development at all. Just one word that we heard, can we understand it correctly? For example, Dhamma in Pali, but it means whatever is real and it's now appearing. So we can be sure that every moment that is a Dhamma arising and falling away. But it seems like there are so many realities right now, like seeing and hearing and Kuntom and everyone here, by thinking, see? So it's not just understanding just one word that one heard many, many times, like reality, reality. Right now, even the word reality doesn't bring about understanding of anything at all. But there is a reality like seeing, and there is a reality like hearing, see? Each reality is so real when it's conditioned and appears right now. Instead of thinking a lot about sasankarika or paccaya or anything, what about the understanding of just a reality now as it is? So we learn a lot about concept, but anything, something, or nothing about what appears now.
How do we know when you say, do we?
For example, now, if there's the understanding of visible object as visible object, it begins to see. That is different from thinking. And it's very difficult to distinguish the two, like seeing is not hearing and it's not like thinking at all. Seeing just sees. The self is always comes in unknowingly. So it conditioned moment of not understanding what is seen now as it is. But when there is more and more understanding of that which is seen now as just that, a reality that can be seen. The story is shorter and shorter, and the other reality can be experienced. Now there is seeing and thinking, but the thing is not appear. It does not appear at all, right? Thinking does not appear. There seems like there's always seeing all the time. Where is the thinking? It's in between seeing and thinking, seeing and thinking, seeing and thinking, hearing and thinking, seeing and thinking and hearing. So many, many realities in split seconds. So by learning to understand just a characteristic at a time, then the right understanding will grow to understand better and better of that. For example, paccaya or conditions. If there's nothing, no paramada dhamma, no realities at all, can there be any paccaya? So one knows what is paccaya. Reality itself is paccaya. But since it is not experienced as a reality, we think about different ways of paccaya, of that reality. But at moment of now, understanding that, can there be anything appear without seeing? Possible or not possible? Can this be seen without that which sees it? No. That is the understanding of paccaya, by not calling anything or name it anything at all. That's why by understanding a reality at a time, it can move on or condition other understanding of paccaya little by little, by not naming it, but by knowing it, that without that particular paccaya, that cannot occur or arise at all. Like without the eye base, without the visible object, without that which can experience it, even there is visible object, but no one or no moment of seeing it to be sure that it's just a reality. Even it's just a reality cannot be known. Even one hears many, many times, almost all day. But you see that it needs development of understanding little by little, from hearing and considering. Not just hearing, no considering. Not just seeing and then concept all the time about the way it is, like the book just told about the nature of it. But now it appears as it is, so it needs just the understanding of it to know that it's just a moment of experiencing an object. See, and we can understand the anathaness of every moment. Nobody would like to hear such and such sound, but hearing hears it, and then it's gone completely, everything. Yesterday's happening.
But when you say when you say understanding the anathaness of the moment, when you understanding meaning thinking?
The reality just arises, see?
Yeah.
It's time for paññā to understand it. It's conditioned, no one can have it at will.
So.
Even, yes.
Understanding at theoretical level?
It can be directly too, because you see that without hearing, can there be the understanding of hearing as anathaness, as just a reality, which is different from seeing, and sound is different from visible object. We are surrounded by dhammas all the time, but no understanding of any of them.
Tom's question about knowing if there is awareness or not. You've often said how important it is for the difference between moment with awareness and moment without awareness to be known. But of course, awareness can be very weak, so it's a very subtle thing. And I guess Tom is asking how it's known that there is awareness when it's weak and subtle.
What is the object of an experience now? Yes, there must be citta all the time, from moment of birth up to now. So now, what is experience? See? No answer.
Right. You have to stop and think.
No.
Thinking always comes, jumps in so quickly.
Yeah. One can see that even its experience is not known, see? So one has to think, what is experience? See? But citta experiences all the time, non-stop at all. So, what is experience now? See? Does it take time to think? Or not necessary at all? What is experienced?
Concepts.
Okay.
Visible object.
Hardness. And the question is whether, how can be the understanding of the difference between with awareness or without awareness, right? Is that your question, Kuntam? When you talk about, when you just said hardness is experience, right? As usual, ordinary, everyday, or is there any difference?
Not with understanding, but the characteristic of hardness can be experienced.
You can see that that is without understanding and awareness, as usual. But when it appears just a little bit more than usual, even it's hard, how can there be such moment without the intellectual understanding to condition it to appear better, not as usual? And at that moment, we don't need to say that awareness arises and awareness is aware of hardness with some understanding or very little understanding. We don't have to call it, but the panya, right understanding, can begin to see the difference, even just very slightly, but it's different. And there can be the moment of understanding about dreaming and awakening. When there's no understanding of realities as they are at all, it's like in a dream, all day long or all life long. But at moment of understanding a characteristic, just one at a time, even the understanding is not keen, it's not sharp enough, but it knows that it's not moment without understanding, and that is the only time to be awakened. And so one knows the difference between concept and realities. And what is real is moment of whatever appears to awareness and right understanding.
So, Ajahn, when you speak about considering, it is the considering of what appears now.
Understanding.
And understanding.
Because all jetasikas perform their functions, no one else at all. So it's not necessary to think whether vitaka is there, vichara is there, manasikara is there, or is this or that. Because at moment of understanding, it's just like this moment of seeing. Seven jetasikas with it, unknown. So at moment of understanding it, jetasikas are there. We don't have to specify which one.
Yeah, when you say the seeing, it means the citta that experiencing the object, or is the situation where the three reality was met.
Yeah, you are thinking about concept. Sorry of saying, but without concept, they say, this is the point to begin to know. And that's the beginning of studying or learning to understand seeing at moment of seeing. But if you think about story of seeing, then it's not moment of understanding it. And your life will be filled up with words and concepts. No understanding of this moment as no word, but it's experiencing, it says.
Ajahn, can we say that a moment of understanding is without commentary,
Like you said, no, story gets shorter and shorter.
Without intellectual understanding, there will never be conditions for the arising and the understanding of whatever appears. So when one knows that after seeing there is thinking, does it appear now the thinking?
Yes.
Thinking, yes. After seeing, right then, see. It's like question, what are you thinking?
About many, many things.
See, after seeing has fallen away quite a long time, what about that which follows seeing, to know that what is seen as people and things?
When you said before that as understanding becomes stronger, the story becomes shorter and shorter. So I assume that at some point there is no story.
When there is the awareness of a reality, at that moment it's not concept or story.
Right. That's really what I was what I was asking.
Like seeing and hearing, what follows what? See? Hearing follows seeing, or seeing follows hearing. And there are moments of thinking in between them. So, not attention to select object of understanding, but develop understanding of what appears little by little, very little by little.
And it doesn't matter what appears. It
not
doesn't
at all.
Matter because
as long.
The what Panya understands is applicable to the arising of other realities as well.
No need to think about that.
No need
either.
To think about that. Yeah. Except intellectual.
Just understanding moment with awareness and moment without awareness by conditions.
But just getting back to Tom's question, I was going to ask about the simile of the ads handle, which we're all familiar with, because that would seem to suggest that there can be a lot of moments of awareness that are not or cannot be known.
Thinking again, see. Just learn at moment of hearing about the story so that right understanding develops at that moment as Sankhara Dhamma, Sankhara Khanda. See, it's not I who need this or that to support or condition moment of understanding or awareness. Just understand what it said, that's all. Otherwise this I is so very tricky, it's always there.
I come back to the seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can call it the seeing is a nama or a.
Excuse me. If you don't call it seeing, does it see?
Yeah, it see.
So it's a reality. If you like
it's
to call
a reality.
It, okay.
But it's a reality, but it's a rupa or numa reality.
If you are told that seeing is rupa, then what? Right or wrong, someone tell you that seeing is rupa, right or wrong, it's not the word, but the understanding of reality, whether what's meant by nama and rupa. So you don't just tell anyone this is rupa and that is nama. No use, because it cannot help that person to have right understanding just by being told. But now, there's visible object is seen.
Yeah.
By what? That which can see it. It's not the thinking of it, but the seeing which can see it right now. We don't have to say that it's nama, but that which sees, experiences an object, and that which thinks of concept or whatever. And hearing is another reality which hears. We don't have to follow on thinking about this is reality, this is nama and rupa. Instead of saying that's nama, the characteristic of nama is that which experiences, no matter you call it seeing or hearing. Or if you change from calling it nama and calling it rupa, see, it cannot change the characteristic of seeing at all, if you just change the word. But when we use the word nama, we mean that that which can experience an object. Instead of being told, this is nama, and that is rupa. So now, nama or rupa?
Nama.
What nama?
Seeing.
And what else is nama?
What else is nama? Citta is nama.
And what is different between citta and seeing?
No.
No.
It's reality.
Which can experience the chief, the faculty of experiencing an object.
Yeah.
This is another way to learn to understand realities, especially in the time of Buddha. There's no book at all. Only realities appeared. So he taught about reality at that moment, which appeared, like now, exactly.
Just to return to Kuntom's question, understanding will condition thinking, as well as understanding the reality that appears. So would it be reasonable to say that not by way of test, but that perhaps the way we think about realities and the way we discuss over time changes through the influence or the conditioning of some level of understanding? Is that question clear?
Intellectual understanding, you mean?
It seems to me that over the years, as a group, our conversation has changed. And so I wonder if that is because even though we still talk a lot about intellectual understanding and about concept, perhaps we talk about it in a slightly different way than we did many years ago.
Yeah, closer to realities.
Yes, yes. So maybe that is some kind of indication, Tom, if that's what you're looking for.
Sometimes it occurs to me, especially when you talk to someone new about the way we study, that it's kind of a trap that we say, okay, now I understand nama, or I understand rupa, or I understand anatta, but really all I know is new words or new concepts, and not really have a clear understanding of that moment. So I don't know where I'm going with that, but it feels like I'm not really advancing. I'm just learning words that other people don't know.
And that is Panya, which knows the difference, see? But there's still self. So you take it for whether I get better understanding or not. It's always there. And doubt, it's always there. Because there are anusya, ditta anusya. And vichikicca anusya, if you like words and names, yeah, to call them.
It does help to understand what you're talking about.
While you remind about the reality.
Why again?
Okay. While, I said while.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
While. So many conditions for akusala thinking.
Do you have enough kusala to condition more kusala?
Enough what? Akusala to condition?
Kusala. To condition kusala.
Oh, it's
than
very
Akusala.
Little.
Yeah. So one knows whatever arises depends on conditions. The accumulation of Akusala is more than Kusala. So it can condition more Akusala in a day.
Akusala can be the object of understanding. So it arises by the same conditions.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's only because of conditions.
Yeah. And Panya is not afraid to understand Akusala, see? Otherwise it's shaken by the idea of self, trying to not have it.
Because the Buddha teach that so long, and it seems like there is no enough faith to get everything.
It's your faith, right? But when it's confidence that Panya can understand seeing right now as it is without thinking about it, because no need to think at any moment or every moment at all. At moment of seeing, there's no thinking, right? And at moment of thinking, it's not seeing at all. So by understanding this little by little, one can understand moment of seeing without thinking there is only a reality it thinks and it experiences visible object. No need to say, because now even we do not think about all these words, there is seeing. Why think? Why think? At moment of seeing, why think of seeing? Right. And Panya can see that no one can stop thinking at all. But Panya can understand it as a moment of thinking, that's all. Like a moment of seeing, a moment of hearing. They are all the same conditioned reality. Is useful or not useful? No one can say to you, don't or do, but it's your own understanding whether it's useful or not to think. Because even you see that it's not useful, that can be moment of thinking by conditions. So the best thing is understanding, develop the standing of all realities, not just some.
So it leads me to another question. Okay, I didn't understand your point about attending to what appears now instead of studying just the new words and concepts. But with our current ignorance, we mix up all kinds of realities. So if we have the explanations about different characteristics of realities, it can help us to have more clear understanding of the realities which are appearing, right?
Hoping. Wishing. The self is there.
But then what is the purpose of studying the Dipitaka? So it should, as I understand it, if we read the different descriptions.
To know that what one reads is different from what one thinks. And one can see the value of each word of the teachings. Ratana in Pali, precious gem, most precious beyond imagination or thinking or comparing. Just one word is better than having ignorance, not hearing, not understanding whatever appears at all. And this is the way to worship Buddha with right understanding. Not only things or flowers, candlestick, incense stick.
So, okay, I would rephrase my question. Should we just study again. Any reality? Again, yes.
Yeah. Should we?
So everything is by conditioned. So
you think ahead. What about now? Should, it's not this moment, right? But what about this moment? Not thinking about just even a moment ahead. Like yesterday's trip, they planned a lot for us to have convenience. What happened then in the bus? No matter who plans, all depends on conditions.
Let me give you an example, Tom, as I understand. For example, a few moments ago, Ajahn was referring to vichikicca, a Pali word which means doubt. And we may look up the term vichikicca in the dictionary and study it and try to work out when we have vichikicca and try to know it. Or at this moment of listening, there may be doubt arising, and at that moment there can be a little bit of understanding without any trying or should or setting any rule or expectation, but naturally when it arises. So it's just, it's not a question of whether or not we should know the term vichikicca, but there's a difference between studying it with an idea of knowing it or being aware of it, because then it's just self wanting to understand this kind of reality, as opposed to just at this moment when reality appears, just understanding naturally.
And there is a lot of wrong view.
A lot.
Yes.
This really covers everything.
But who knows whether it's now or not, see, because it has to be a very precise moment. At moment of seeing, are you thinking of wrong view? See, books, yeah, comes in.
They're thinking of self.
Yes, that's, that should be understanding of all realities. No expectation. Because it must be a moment which is conditioned by intellectual understanding only.
While I see that palm tree, I know this is a palm tree.
Okay. Why I?
Because of ignorance, you know, you and
seeing is seeing and thinking. Why I? You just talk about wrong view. See, when it comes, no one knows. But when it does not appear, one thinks about it. Without seeing, can there be the idea of palm tree? So you talk about the jhakkhu sampajjanya vedana. Yeah. See, this is the answer for your why.
Yeah. With arising of this, there is that. With no arising of this,
no that.
I is there. Sampajjanya, to mind the object at moment of thinking, not at moment of seeing.
Mano sampaja.
Right. Mm-hmm. Not jhakkhu sampaja. So one knows that pasa cannot be directly experienced. It can be object of thinking. Only, and then after that one knows by oneself about one's accumulation to know it or not.
But once you told that we studying ourselves, not dhammas, that's a good reminder, because usually we studying ourselves to gain, and we have no faith or forget dhammas for the purpose of dhamma. That's
Maves and Toms, and so we know that when there is understanding of seeing at that moment, there's no thinking at all, it's just the reality. But afterwards, there has to be, even for one who's developed a lot of understanding, there has to be thinking. So it's just a question of whether it's thinking wisely or unwisely. Even the Buddha, for the Buddha, there's lots of thinking after seeing, but wisely or unwisely, so the understanding will condition. So you asked about Tom asked about the difference in life, so it's just a question of whether there's a lot of wise or unwise thinking after seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting and touching. So it's not a matter of less thinking or not thinking, but whether it's wisely or unwisely, because there cannot be realities appearing all the time. There has to be, there have to be thinking of concepts in between too.
I think it was more just picking up on what Ajahn said about the story getting shorter and shorter, and thinking about Panya being aware of a reality, not thinking about a reality, even though, as you're saying, there can be wise thinking after that moment. But just at the very moment itself.
Close to the reality itself. Long stories is called papancha. Is what is meant by papancha?
Loba, with mana, conceit, or with ditti, wrong view. So most of the day after seeing a visible object, then there's lots of thinking with loba or with mana and sometimes with ditti.
And I suppose one answer to Tom's question is that if realities are closer now than in the past, that indicates there has been some development of understanding or some awareness. Mm-hmm. Is that helpful, Tom?
But I want,
more moment-to-moment basis.
Yeah, I want my phone to detect awareness. No, but I think something that is, we are always living in a thinking world, and the conditions for the next moment are always what we are thinking about, concentrating on. So if we are thinking about computers or sports or something like that, or we're reading the Dhamma, those are conditions. And of course, we want to see immediate results according to our and my and I, what I want. But I think it's pretty clear we don't have control over that. But that's why
And there can be thinking at different levels too, so that even while thinking about those mundane topics, there can be also some level of reflection going on in the background.
I'm just saying more, listening to Tom's quite, why study at all? You know, just experience the moment, but studying has the advantage, has the benefit of some condition we don't know yet, but if we were told that seeing, hearing, and tasting all happen at the same time, then where are we in terms of understanding? Nobody helped him, really.
But apart from getting a grasp of those conceptual things about one moment of seeing, only seeing or hearing and not both. The other thing about studying, but it doesn't have to be studying, is that there has to be constant reminders. So if there's not reading or listening or discussing going on in one's life, then even though one has studied and has the conceptual grasp, then there aren't the conditions for awareness to arise either.
For yourself or for no self? For yourself or for no self at all? To understand whatever person?
I think self jumps in much quicker than... But still, it can't... Self, you know, non-self...
Until Panya can understand that there is no self. There are different realities.
Different moments, yeah.
Ajahn, is that part of what Panya understands, that as well as understanding a reality as a reality, does it understand that the goal of that understanding is anatta?
Yes.
That's embedded in Panya.
But not what you call motivated by the idea of self.
That was an interesting expression, the goal of anatta. It's not...
What about all are anatta?
Yes. It was just considering the possibility that Panya has embedded in it that sense of the purpose of its function is to understand anatta as well as to perceive the reality.
Isn't that the same, for example, when we talk about understanding visible object as a dharma?
Yes.
That is the understanding of visible object as anatta, the characteristic of anatta. So the understanding of visible object is actually the understanding of reality as anatta. It's what understanding understands. It's the characteristic of that reality that is appearing.
Can you explain more about the difference between nama and rupa? You often say nama is that which has no shape, no form, and I would like to hear more about this.
Is there any difference between visible object and seeing? Or no different at all? Yes, and that's the meaning of what is nama and what is rupa. Even we don't use these terms at all. That which is experienced cannot experience. And that which experiences now experiences an object. Visible object or sound. Just only this word can be conditions for thinking about it and understanding it right now. No word like nama, no word like rupa, because we're talking just about a characteristic which can experience an object, and the other one, that which cannot experience at all. So, for your question, is sound rupa or nama?
Rupa.
See? Understanding. Right then, what is nama and what is rupa? And thinking?
Nama.
Could you say please your question because you actually know all these answers and you know what
I
think it must be something.
Yeah, but the more I hear about this, the more I found it helpful to ask, to see absolutely the difference between the two, which is the first step to progress further in Satipatthana.
Originally, you asked about nama as being that which has no form, which is like describing it in contradistinction to rupa.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Ajahn normally explains nama as being that which experiences an object.
Sure, yes.
So, which is a more like positive characteristic of nama than that of having no form, which seems to me a slightly awkward way of thinking about nama if one's trying to understand intellectual level what nama is.
I found it helpful thinking in terms of no shape and forms as well of course as nama is that which experiences an object while rupa doesn't, but also thinking in terms of something which is nowhere in space, nowhere in place, on the table too.
How big is nama? And how small is nama? How big is nama?
I don't think one ever thinks of it in terms of large or small, so you'd have to
beyond.
We don't measure it in those ways.
Expectation.
Yeah.
Because it's just that which can experience it. Nothing to do with rupa in the whole world or at any time. In darkness, the experiencing is there. No limit. Like place or thing. So one understands a little bit better of it.
So with the emphasis always on the present moment rather than theoretical understanding, at the present moment there is experiencing of object.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what is meant by nama.
But beyond if we say expectation, until it appears with right understanding.
On the other hand, if we were to say at the present moment there's something that has no shape or form, then that would be, it just confuses the issue.
So as soon as we see a visible object, then like now I see Ajahn, I see Nina, and etc. So it's just the thinking, it's already the moment of thinking about the visible object. So we know nothing about the moment of just experiencing that visible object.
But if we hear that there is a moment of just experiencing that occurs and which is what the thinking and that precedes, if you like, the thinking, and that is different from the thinking, then I think that's something that we didn't know before and helps us to come a little bit closer to the reality of the scene.
What you just said, Tab, made me think about how we actually talk about visible object as that which appears, and we use that for all the realities. When we say that which appears, it can sound like something. That can sound like something.
So that now and here. Concern?
That which appears, that reality which appears. So you said it sounds like something, but the reality is not nothing, because it is that reality, visible object is real. So that visible object which appears now, the real visible object, not the one from a moment ago or next moment or last month, but that the one that appears right at this moment.
Somehow it has that sense, though, as if we're substituting that for something.
Please explain thing or something.
Well, I suppose the rupa that is the object of that it seems that the rupa in that sense.
And what about
is like
if you
something.
Don't mind or call it anything at all and understand that?
Probably the understanding is not strong enough to know that.
That's it.
Yes. To accept it intellectually, but not to know it.
And there must be this level of understanding before the higher level. Are we learning Dhamma while there's no words? Talking, asking,
It just occurs to me that the studying of the Dhammas which arise now must always go along with the understanding of conditionalities. Otherwise it will be, I am aware of this or that.
What conditionality?
For example, awareness of seeing, it's just the seeing consciousness and eye base and visible object.
And at moment of just studying, can there be the idea of conditionality?
Not at direct level, only intellectual level.
You mean now, at moment of learning, beginning, studying, understanding a little bit of seeing right now, do we need to think about conditionality?
We don't need to think, but having heard saying about that, it can arise.
Conditions such very little understanding of this moment of seeing by not thinking about the conditions.
Right.
Have to, we think at least that we need to have in mind a lot of Dhamma, a lot of terms to understand. But is it true?
Yes.
I mean, for example, that, I cannot understand before I will read a lot, or it seems like...
A lot, or just one word and study and understand it?
I mean some kind of... doubts that I think I am learned, like, and we are learned that the listening of Dhamma, hearing of Dhamma, knowing the words condition, more understanding. And sometimes I think, I must first read.
When it's I, it's not understanding. Yeah. But when there is the understanding that without reading and thinking, there will never be a moment of direct awareness.
Yeah.
and understanding of whatever appears. No I who can do anything, because at that moment there is the understanding of conditionality. Otherwise it's I who reads and understands. That's why it's the I who learns, or realities learn. In the beginning, you cannot get rid of the idea of I, but by learning a lot, then it will decrease the clinging to the idea of self or I. Because of understanding, theoretical understanding, is helpful too.
And is the vitaka that leads away or leads to more understanding?
Yeah, from book we know that vitaka arises after seeing, but what about other jetasikas with it arising together? Yeah, vichara and what else? In order to see that there is no self at all. Okay, vitaka, vichara, what else? The seven jetasikas?
Namasikara.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as much as one can think about it. Until no expectation which one would be object of understanding at that very moment. I'm sure it's not vitaka. Because even seeing right now without vitaka, and it sees, there's no understanding about that which sees as the self.
I suppose if you think about it, you could say the jetasikas of which there can be, the jetasikas, the characteristic of which can appear, are relatively few. Because we talk a lot about these others that cannot be experienced.
Does anyone appear now? Of jetasikas.
Let me think.
It's gone. Yeah. And that which arises with moment of thinking is unknown again. Closer to reality right now, or far away from it?
On the other hand, the fact that the characteristic of these other jetasikas doesn't appear is a reason why there needs to be some intellectual study
and
of them.
Can it appear now? If it cannot, there can be right understanding of whatever appears.
Right.
Otherwise thinking takes one away from this moment again.
So we could say that we study about these other jetasikas not in order to experience their characteristic mm-hmm. right now, mm-hmm. but just to as an explanation of the anattaness of the present moment. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there can only be awareness of a reality whose characteristic is mm-hmm. now appearing.
And right understanding cures the dirty citta with ignorance.
The closer to understand or far to understand?
Depending on the understanding.
No, I mean the question is, there is any difference between the closer to understand, really understand, closer to understand, and far to understand? Is it? Is sound something, or is thin closer to understand it mean not understand, yes?
What appears now?
Again, how are you?
What is appearing this moment?
Each moment?
Yes.
Each moment is reality.
What reality?
Thinking.
Okay. Is it far from understanding or close to understanding?
I don't know.
It's this moment. It's not as far as tomorrow's thinking. but it's so far to understand when there is ignorance covered up. That's why that which can be understood is not far at all when there's right understanding.
Point which she was making in her own words was that we know that when there's no understanding of visible object as that which is seen, and there's an idea of seeing people and things, it's atanuditi, it's something there that is seen. And I think that her comment was, when we say visible object is what appears, if the understanding is very far away and it's just repeating a term or a label without any idea, then it's actually no different from saying that people or tables are seen, because it's still an idea of something or utter that is seen, a bit like when people have an idea of seeing a blank color or something like this. So I think that was what your point was, that if understanding is far away, even if the terms are right, it's still something there.
Although understanding grows gradually, and I realize that if it's direct understanding, it's different from intellectual understanding. There is a gradual growing of understanding and getting closer to reality.
Very little by little.
Yes.
Everything is burning. Everything burns.
Atita pariyaya sutta.
Actually, it's just to continue with, I suppose, what seems like a little bit of a theme about, so that which appears, and that's quite right what you said, Sarah, that it seems that sometimes it's just like finding another way to say the same old thing. But at the same time, it seems like a more useful way of talking about dhammas, because there's not the immediate thinking of people and things and tastes and sounds. And it's almost like there's, when we hear or use the expression ourselves, that which appears, it's as if there is just a moment of space or something that is not filled up with the idea of self immediately. That's just the other reflection of the mind.
At that moment, there's a reminder that there's no self involved. There is a condition for a reality to appear at that moment. It's not I or anyone else who makes it.
Yes. And just going back to your comment, Jonathan, about how we need many, many reminders in a day. And that expression seems to be like a really useful reminder, that which appears. So despite my reservations.
That which appears by conditions.
Your way of considering and reflecting for yourself, as opposed to just being told, is what Ajahn was mentioning at breakfast when Beverly was asking about how to teach Dharma to a child or how to begin, and the Jan was stressing it's no good just telling them what is what and this is reality and this is kindness and this is the way to think, but it has to be one's own understanding, it has to be reasoned by asking questions and probing rather than just being told what is what.
I think we have to listen and hear more about anatta, because we repeat the word anatta, but sometimes it is described as beyond control, that we can't have things as we would like them to be, but that is still intellectual understanding or thinking. It's not yet experience of anatta. I think we are still wondering about it.
Wondering?
Yeah, not being sure.
Would like to have, or what?
Would like to have. No, like cutting short the storage. Yeah. I'm not so optimistic like Tom is, that there is a progress or that we can, that there will be less stories, because I think a lot of sad stories that I don't like, but I can't cut them short when I will, when I want to. So that shows anatta, I think. But you would say it's just a Dhamma and then point to the present moment. Maybe that's the only way to understand anatta. But we use the word so often, and I feel I can't hear enough of anatta, what it is or the meaning of it.
For example, you cannot cut anything short. Like, what about the others? Can they? Exactly the same, because these are Dhamma realities. One knows from theory, considering that kusala vitaka is much better than akusala vitaka, right? But what is better, to understand them as anatta, or just want to have less akusala vitaka, see? Even this depending on understanding, little by little, until there are conditions for less akusala vitaka, because of understanding only.
Understanding of what?
Whatever appears, realities as they are, as not self.
Yeah, because you often stress all kinds of realities, not only that special reality that we don't like.
Yes, would you like to be good? See, what about conditions? Just wanting?
Just wanting.
Yeah. So?
Yeah. Not enough conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not enough understanding.
Right.
Yeah. So we will always ask, how to?
How again?
Yeah,
because
I know.
The answer
yeah.
is answered already.
Yeah.
Uncontrollable.
Uncontrollable. And that is anatta, the meaning of anatta.
Mm-hmm.
But we always like to hear many descriptions of anatta in order to understand it.
That's why a moment of understanding, few moments, and then lots of moments of not understanding. In a day.
Anytime we know that the reason Vedana is the second kanda, because of the great importance we attach to feelings, and we mind so much about feelings, so there's such strong attachment to having pleasant feeling, but it's just a Dharma, no one can make it arise, and the unpleasant feeling is bound to be there because of the strong clinging to oneself and to one's own pleasant feelings. So I think that just understanding Vedana, for example, as anatta, so conditioned, even at this moment, no one can make it pleasant or unpleasant or neutral, just depends on conditions, and it's a reality that can be known now as anatta, as just anatta. A Dharma,
yeah.
Not my feeling or my unpleasant feeling or my difficulty, but just a Dharma, that Vedana appearing right now, seeing, hearing, Vedana, just different Dharmas conditioned as anatta.
for example, a lot of thinking with dosa or whatever about something, and obviously it's an unpleasant situation, and I think it's tempting to reflect, to think of it as anatta or something like that, but it's equally a reflection of the conditioned nature of dhammas, and it's equally a reflection of the accumulated tendency. So we can think in any of these terms when there are thoughts that, when there's a lot of thinking which is troubling us, but I'm not sure that it has anything to do with understanding. And I would have thought of anatta as a characteristic of dhammas, so it only comes with an understanding of dhammas when there is awareness of realities that's developed, rather than being reflection.
Do we have to think of the future result? Future result.
No.
But you are thinking?
Yes.
By conditions?
Yes.
So right understanding can understand reality just at this moment only.
Right.
Because Buddha said, the only way, Mahastipatthana. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So then it's a question of understanding of what?
Our reality, directly.
Our reality. Yes.
And one begins to understand what is meant by direct understanding.
Yes.
Not thinking.
And what is meant by direct understanding is understanding of a reality that is appearing now.
Now appear.
Yes.
As usual, or a little bit more than just usual?
More than just usual.
Really? To what? Consciousness.
If it is more than usual, then it would have to be some reason, awareness or understanding.
Conditions. Yeah. It depends on whether it's only, it arises more, so it appears more, or there is right understanding that it can appear to right understanding instead of to ignorance.
That is a very difficult part. Mm-hmm. I would like to hear more about it.
Yeah. You're praising the virtues of Buddha, his wisdom.
Yeah. No, what you...
To talk about...
Yeah. It's difficult to understand.
So all depends on understanding. The best thing, the best of all is understanding. Even its intellectual understanding is not wrong understanding. Just wish to have this or that. It's only wishing, thinking. But right understanding understands whatever appears as it is. So very rapidly and very, very few moments, but it's there by conditions. So one can see the benefit of right understanding. From morning up to now, many moments with ignorance, and now there can be moments of understanding. Better than none at all, no matter what level. Until there can be the more understanding about living alone, anywhere, anytime, with no one or with many people. Is it the lone world or lonely world? What? Yeah. Uh-huh. But when there is ignorance, it's lonely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The lone world of understanding, mm-hmm. nothing lonely.
Mm-hmm.
So lonely is just, yeah. Usually it's just aversion or ignorance.
And lone world is freed from wrong view.
That moment.
Right. No problem. Cheerful. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have a question. It's probably, we all went to see Spy Wars. Well, not all of us. Some of us went to see Spy Wars. And in Spy Wars, there was a lot of killing and shooting and screaming and not very Kusala environment. And I'm thinking more about children who are seeing. And it's not real. To us, we know it's, but to the children, I can't help but think that this is not as good as watching something that is more kusala or more, maybe it's silly or funny or fun, but it's not, you know, killing with no blood and no consequence and anything like that. So as a parent or a grandparent, when you exposing ourselves to that kind of environment. Is this a unwise thing to do, or, I mean, what is the...
Wise thing is lone world, living in lone world, right? Because this problem, when it's not lone world,
A child doesn't see it as a problem. Because, they might think it's normal.
Because at this moment there's a problem of children. Because it's not lone world. Right? Full of children all over the world.
I don't understand your...
Because what is lone world?
Referring to an akusala environment when watching this, but actually the akusala world is just at the moment of akusala citta arising. So that was one point. And the other point that she's referring to is always back to this moment. So at this moment we're thinking about children that we're concerned about or about the show we watched the other day. So what is the citta at this moment? Because if at this moment there is understanding of seeing as a reality, hearing as reality, thinking at this as a reality, at this moment there is lone world. So in other words, she's just emphasizing that it always comes back to this moment. Like at this moment, if we're worrying about our family member in another country and we think the problem is our mother's sickness or our child's ailment, but actually the problem is only the thinking, the worrying now, the not living alone with the reality at this moment.
I guess that wasn't my concern, really. I was just thinking about, in a day, if you're a parent or a grandparent and...
A person.
But you have to make decisions for your family or your friends or yourself about to do this or to do that. And I think about well, especially in the country I come from, where there's a good, you know, the amount, the exposure to violence and killing and is very, very high. And I think about the children, whether it's my grandchildren or my children. I mean, we have to think about that. We can't, it doesn't, can we say it doesn't matter if they see it or don't see it?
And before all, the thinking is what? Wholesome or unwholesome moment of thinking about such things. This is the point. Because the children cannot follow you to the other world, next life, but worry and things like problem keep in one's mind. The wholesome jetasika's reality is always think about other things, concerning about this or that all the time. No understanding of what jitta or what reality is there at moment of thinking. It seems like one thinks with goodness or kindness, but the jitta which thinks, is it clean, clear, or full of problem, worry, and akusala jetasikas? Even at this moment of seeing, see, after seeing clean, clear or not, the jitta, or sprinkled with dust of ignorance and attachment. And then when it becomes to be like thing or people, more and more worry about my conditions. Is worry good? Worry?
Actually, I don't have worry really, so or
what is there?
Concern.
What is there?
It's more.
Kusala or akusala?
Which, I'm sorry, my thinking? Or, I assume akusala.
About solving problem or.
Sound.
Anatta, anatta, si.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there can be the understanding of anatta at any moment of anything. When panya is there, even moment of thinking about children, there can be understanding of that very moment as anatta. Not me, only a reality things. By conditions, and it's gone.
And it makes a difference whether you're thinking with metta.
Mm-hmm. So, patamacitta, tutiyacitta, and pachimacitta. Patamacitta, tutiyacitta, and pachimacitta. Only patama and tutiya. See, only that, see, if we understand realities in a day, in one's life.
I need to ask you to explain those again.
Please, Kun Sarah.
Actually, it's quite simple. The Patama Citta just refers to the Bhavanga Cittas, and the Dutiya Citta refers to the Viti Cittas. Dutiya to the vitichitta. So, for example, in the idle process at moments of seeing and kusala and akusala cittas that follow it, these are vitichittas. The mind or process, or the thinking that follows the idle process, these are vitichittas. So those, each moment of vitichitta is dutiya citta, and then in between the idle cittas and the mind or cittas, there must be bhavanga cittas. Right. These are the patama cittas. So when we're fast asleep, citta, 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 these are the bhavanga cittas, the patama cittas. And then the last one, the pachima citta, this is just the last citta, the arahat, no need to be concerned about it. So in a day, all day, just patama citta and dutiya citta, just bhavanga cittas.
May I say something?
Yes.
I think Tom wants to think of children with kusala citta, how to help them. So we often hear this, people asking questions about how to help others in the conventional world.
Leave it to conditions. You think in your own way and the other thing in their own way.
But they will not, maybe you are not satisfied with the answer. Or are you satisfied with the answer? I feel that.
Yeah, just to interpose, if the question is how to help others with kusala citta, then the answer has to be have kusala citta. Not that it's possible to have it, but you see my point that if you say the way to help, that cannot be with kusala citta unless kusala citta arises. So, and on the other hand, if kusala citta arises, then there is helping, because that's what kusala is about.
But Tom hears the answer, leave it to conditions, but he may not be satisfied with his answer, or it is too short, or what do you think? What do you think?
And what about just do your best?
It's conditions. Jonathan made the point of helping with kusala. So we always talk about the best way is by educating children. So that's kusala. We want to give them education. But we don't know how they will receive that education. It depends on their condition. So even if we give them the opportunity of education, they may not, in our opinion, go the right way. But that's their conditions. But at least we have done the best we think, with kusala deeds, to give them that opportunity. After that, it's their conditions.
Well, I'll give an example of our granddaughter was visiting, and we had the choice of which she wants to watch a movie. So now we have to choose which movie. And all interesting cartoon characters, and one movie we were watching, maybe Snow White. And the sisters were very jealous and not nice to other people, huh? And what we would say in conventional terms gave a very bad example to acting selfishly and dishonestly and so forth. Or we could show a movie where people are not that way. They act with generosity or with compassion. So here we have a 4 or 5 year old little girl watching this. And so as a parent or grandparent, you know, the obvious thing is you want to expose them to generosity and as an example, because they don't understand that it is bad to be selfish or to be cruel to somebody else any more than they necessarily understand to be kind and generous. So it seems as a parent it makes more sense to give them the opportunity to see the positive kusala moments instead of the bad example, which could look good to a child if they see it. That's why I think, I understand it's by conditions, but one of the conditions is what they see when we show it to them.
Just do your best.
Yeah, I usually try to do that. Answered my own question.
I think we have seen examples sometimes with children, even when they see a kusala things. I have seen children know that that's not right to do or not a good thing. They somehow know. Not all children, but some children, by their whatever, accumulations and conditions. They seem to know. One child will know and another child will think it's okay.
I think all children know that the ugly sisters are pretty bad, right? And some parents or some teachers will ban TVs from the household, but the point is it's not a rule, because it just, people have different ideas about what's right or wrong, and so much depends on different accumulations and karma. But really, I think the whole point is it comes back to this moment.
And what's the result of attachment?
More attachment.
And at the end? Yes, fire.
Fire.
Adita pariyaya sutta again. Can children know the difference between attachment and metta, kindness? Can they know?
They can learn, yeah.
What do they like? Which one?
But they can learn to understand which is beneficial. Mm-hmm.
Even they didn't hear the teachings.
Because kindness doesn't harm at all. And they can feel that, I think. Kusala citta is different from akusala citta.
They have accumulations as well, although they don't manifest until they, you know, until they grow old enough to talk and understand what's said to them. Their accumulations factor into that too, don't they?
What about adults? Not children.
Adults.
Same.
They're like children.
Same.
Some kind of medical studies, if we talk about children, that the children,
young children especially, feel a lot of, they've got the bodily different hormones and the neurotransmitters in the body medically a lot, so they can feel more happiness until some age and it disappears.
Yeah, really, that's a medical study.
And what are the realities? And what are the realities of what you are talking about?
But also that what it's a
good reminder sometimes, because to know that the rupa influences nama also, because the medical studies were about the body, the bodily substances can make mind more happy.
Both need nutrition, right?
And can you say more about nutrition for the citta, nama?
Wholesome, kusala, best food. And for rupa? That which is not harmful to the body. Very important too, otherwise one will have no opportunity to live to understand reality.
So So are we talking here at the level of substances or kinds
truth.
Of food?
Truth.
Truth. But for the body?
Yes, truth.
Truth.
That's why we take good food, best food for the body.
In the case of monks, though, they are not able to choose food.
But
it's always
what is given is
that.
Not. What is, but what is given to him is not poisoning.
No. But as far as food goes, there's also a wide range of what is good and bad, or healthy and unhealthy. So the monk has to take the unhealthy with the healthy when it comes to food.
He knows that what leads to what. Because even for the monks, it was said even that they can get bite by the spider or whatever, and the karma of life can be interrupted, but they do not grieve or worry about that. They just could understand that. So I think even the monk takes not healthy. The guy with understanding, then he knows that this is not healthy.
Not only monk.
Mm-hmm.
But you forget, each moment there must be ahara.
Yeah.
Consuming whatever appears with attachment, aversion, or understanding. Okay, now.